That it is good to be here. John chapter 3, if you'd turn your Bibles to John chapter 3. In step with Jesus, we're looking at different pathways. Following him, you say, Pastor, we haven't looked at a map for ages. Well, it's because we've been in Jerusalem for so long. Jesus has been there, but as soon as he gets done with Nicodemus, actually, even within chapter 3, we're gonna take a move down in verse 22. So we're just about there. But before we get there, just one more lesson here I think that we're going to get through on Jesus there in Jerusalem. And here we're looking again at the pathway of salvation. Now, I told you this is an interesting thing because we don't get an account of Jesus witnessing to people. I mean, Jesus is confronting people about their sin. He's talking to people. He's talking about to the scribes and the Pharisees. In this case, he gets a Pharisee, but directly, one-on-one, he is dealing with an individual that is asking questions about salvation. And now Jesus is going to go into this and share with him. And so I think, what a tremendous thing. So you're sitting out here this evening and you say, how do I share the gospel with a person, specifically a religious person? Now, this pattern which Jesus sets forward, it doesn't take a religious person, it's any person. But specifically, maybe you say, I'm talking to a religious person that maybe they go to this kind of church or that kind of church. Well, Jesus is going to give some good things here this evening. And so let's pay attention to see what Jesus gives. And again, there's not going to be any new insight tonight. There's not going to be a lot of stuff that you don't know, but I think it will help you as you just continue to get it into your heart, into your mind. How can I share the gospel with people? What is important? What do you think? If this was what Jesus did and this was his method, I don't want to say method, but if this is what Jesus said and these are the points that he gave, do you think we ought to sit up and listen to what and how he shared the gospel with somebody? I mean, what better can we get, right? The person himself that people need to turn to. And yet Jesus, I'll be honest with you. I've known the story of Nicodemus for so long, but until I sat down early this past week and I was trying to think, now what are we going to look at here? I just went through and I just started making a bunch of notes on what Jesus said. And here, a very clear plan of salvation, the gospel, was just laid out for us. And so if you're taking notes, I think there's about 7 or 8 things here that we're looking at. 7 things this evening that we're going to see. And not going to take very long, again, because you know much about them. But I just want you to see, how did Jesus deal with this individual? All right, let's look at John chapter 3. And I'm trying to decide if I should read through it or if we should just go through it. You're very familiar with the story. I'm not going to read through it. Let's just go through it part by part. And again, I want to encourage you to take notes on Jesus' plan of the gospel with this individual. Let's read the first couple verses. John chapter 3, starting in verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now we've already looked at this. This man Nicodemus, he was a religious man. He was a Pharisee. What was his question about salvation necessarily? No. In fact, he asked about Jesus. You must be an otherwise teacher. You must be a rabbi. And what did we already learn from this? What was Jesus' answer? Did Jesus come back to him with his trying to defend his deity? No. In fact, this individual that was unsaved, would he be able to understand the deity of Christ? Probably not. That teaches us something. And by the way, will we meet people in our lives that like to talk about religious things, but yet their real need is they need Jesus Christ? Folks, there are a lot of people that are out there that have religious questions, and I want to encourage you. You say, Pastor, should I answer those questions? Well, I think it's good to try to give some Bible answers, but I'll tell you something. They need Christ more than they need that question answered. Once they receive Christ, then I think we can and show them, take them to the Bible and show them some of those things. But people, they're blind without Christ. You know, this man, he had a religious question, but what he needed was Jesus Christ. Then he would be able to understand his deity and understand who he was. Wait a second, this is not a rabbi, this is not a teacher, this is God. Okay, so I want to encourage you. Do you get people that ask you religious questions? Probably so. People always, you know, especially when they find out you're a religious person, they like to throw in that religious talk and say certain things. This week, you might hear a lot of religious type comments that come with Easter. Maybe not. Maybe we're so far gone that it's not even going to be religious about Easter. But you might get the opportunity. But I want to encourage you, be careful with getting into debates with people about religious topics. They're not going to understand. By the way, in talking with this, what do people need to have in order for them to understand spiritual truth? They've got to have the Spirit of God. And then they can understand. So you can talk to a person a long time about a religious truth, and it's going to be hard for them to understand that until they get the Holy Spirit. Then the Holy Spirit is going to come inside their lives and illumine them and make sense of things in their lives. So, and Jesus, of course, he did the right thing. He didn't deal with deity. He went straight. He said, you need to be born again. A man needs to be born again. Now, we've already looked at that, but I want you to see what he says. And we see this in verse 3. Verily, verily, he says, you know, this is truly, truly, this is important. Listen up. I say unto thee, except a man, this is an individual, be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I see, first of all, here, and this is the first point, the truth given. Man is in need. You know, Jesus could have, well, he couldn't have said, he wouldn't have said, but people have said before, God loves everybody. Listen, you don't have anything to worry about because God is love. But what would be missing? God is love, but we're sinners. And the first thing that Jesus, as he dives into this need for this individual, as he tells him he needs to be born again, he needs to be saved, but he tells him, as an individual, you need something. He says, this is important, except, that's a key word here, except. This is, he says, except. Now, this is not to accept something. He's making an exception. He says, unless an individual man, and boy, I want to tell you, that's key. We're not just talking, when you're talking to an individual, we're not just dealing with all of mankind, although we can say all of mankind is lost. Who needs to understand that they're lost? That man. That man, you need it. And that's where we're getting at this first point. The truth is given. Individual man is in need. You know what? When we first ought to tell somebody about Christ, we ought to let them know, wait a second, sir, ma'am, you need Christ. You need to be saved. You need something. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. We need to tell people the importance of their need. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. So you're dealing with people. Maybe you're a co-worker, tries to come to you with a spiritual question. And you say, you know, in your mind you think, no, this person doesn't need me to answer that. What they need is to be saved. The first thing you want to do is let them know that there is a need in their lives. Now, there's a number of things that they need to know. What does somebody need to know first off? They need to understand, number one, they're sinners. They're sinners. And you need to show them, not just all of mankind. You know, the Bible says, for all have sinned. But they need to see, I'm not just in the boat with everybody. I am a sinner. Get that person to confess that. Are you, you know, you're talking to Joe. Joe, are you a sinner? And let Joe say, I am a sinner. He needs to recognize that he has an individual need. So right here, where the truth needs to be given, we need to show man their need. And the first thing that we show them is that they're a sinner. What would be the second thing after that? Okay, so I am a sinner, and what is going to come from that? Death, right? There is, my situation is death. So I'm a sinner and I deserve hell. I deserve to die. You see, right away, that puts man in a need, right? I need something, and you need something. That's the first thing that Jesus gives us. He needs something. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Now, these verses are to Judaizers, realizing that although that this is a time of grace, or this is the time of grace to them, not a time to turn to the empty form of the law. keep that in mind as we look at this, but still the truth that's given. He says, we then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain, parenthesis, for he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, in the day of salvation I have secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Now that scripture, again, although to Judaizers is telling, it doesn't matter what time, and it doesn't matter that you go to the law. What needs to matter is that you understand in the time of grace, you need grace. Everyone needs it. And we need to look at individuals and point to them and tell them you are in need. And when they get done talking to you, they ought to know that they need something. Whether they take it or not, they are in need. They are walking away empty, or if they trust Christ, that they have been filled. Okay, so we need to do our best to give them that need, that man is in need. The truth given, man is in need. Hebrews 9:27 tells what to mankind? I quoted part of it this morning. Hebrews 9:27 says, and as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. You know, we ought to quote that verse to people. People ought to understand, wait a second, if I don't do something about my sin, if I don't allow God to do something about my sin, then I'm going to go to hell. And there is appointed time for each one of us. Okay, so you're sharing the gospel with people. They need to understand that they have a need. All right, that's what Jesus starts off with. Okay, so you're witnessing to people, they have a need. And without salvation, that individual will die and go to hell. And they need to understand that. You see, that puts, and I'm not saying we got to put a lot of pressure, but that there's conviction there. They hear that. And by the word, when the word of God is given to an individual, there's going to be conviction. The Holy Spirit's going to use that. And that's why we got to give them the word. We can tell them a lot of things. We need to give them the word. We need to quote this passage of scripture, and we need to tell them, listen, you are in need. Quote the verses. Take them to the book of Romans and show them you're a sinner. Take them to chapter 6 and say that the wages of sin is death. Okay, they need to see their need. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. Show them their need. Okay, that's where Jesus starts. He shows the need. What does he do? First of all, we have the truth given, but then we have the truth explained. Don't you just love how Jesus explains things? Look at verse 5. You know, he starts off in verse 3. He says, born again. And what does that do to Nicodemus? Born again? What are you talking about? He didn't understand what it meant to be born again. You know, he asks in verse 4, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? He doesn't understand, but Jesus is going to follow up. Notice in verse 5, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So Jesus here is given this example of birth. And of course, there's the birth physically, and then there's the birth spiritually, which he is going to start to go into. The point that I want you to see here is as we give people truth, we need to give them some explanation. And we need to, what was Jesus so good at when he was teaching? He gave real live examples. Why did he do that? Because he realizes people are humans and they need human illustrations. You know what? You can give them every verse in the Bible about things, but people need to see, they need to see it demonstrated out in their lives. Folks, I want to encourage you to get some good illustrations that you can use so that people can see the truth. And here, Jesus used the birth process, being born into this world. No, you need to be born again. Not just physical birth, but also spiritual birth. He says, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Jesus used these physical illustrations. You know, as we have used the exchange, and you remember Jeff Musgrave, and probably some of you who have sat through the soul winning classes could reiterate some of those illustrations that he uses. What are some of the illustrations that come to mind? Do you remember some of the, remember right away in the beginning when he is illustrating, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What does he use? Anybody remember? Okay, jumping up. You remember? I forget if it's a flagpole or a basketball hoop. I use the basketball hoop, but I think he uses a flagpole maybe. Okay, and he uses this illustration of and I can't even remember how high, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50 feet. And okay, right away, what are people doing when he talks about this flagpole? They're picturing it, okay? And he says, okay, imagine with me. And by the way, cater to who you're talking to. You know, if I'm going to talk to, and again, I'm always sports oriented because that's who I was for so long. So I will quickly pick, you know, the basketball hoop or something like that. But, you know, find out, you know, what this person is all about and use the illustration. Maybe it's at work and this, you know, maybe a guy is, I don't know, but use an illustration, a ladder or something that he might be familiar with and say, can you imagine a ladder or something? Use this illustration. So all of a sudden you got this person thinking and they know what a ladder looks like. They know how tall, you know, this individual might, you know, be able to picture 30 feet, you know, up there. And this individual saying, you know what, there's no way that I can get to the top of that by myself. See, what you've done is you've already painted a picture of this person's mind. You know, just like this, folks, this is Jesus. This is what Jesus did. He used these live examples, these things that people could relate to. I want to encourage you to think through the gospel and figure out some real examples that you could give so people can picture what you're talking about. I think it's so important what Jesus does here. Jeff Musgrave goes on and he talks about the judge. He talks about a judge when we're talking about how God is not only holy, but he's also just. And a just judge is, even if he's related to the person that's on trial, is and cannot let that person go if he's going to be just. Because justice has to be served. Boy, what a perfect picture. And he, you remember the illustration that he uses later about faith and belief. And I've told you, you've heard this so many times, probably every one of you, about how he was talking about the guy that was the tightrope walker that was across the Niagara Falls there, and he put that rope up across, and he's going back, you know, with a wheelbarrow and doing different things and cooking breakfast on the stove and all these things. And then, you know, he gets across there and he says, and you think through what the goal is that Musgrave is trying to do here. You know, he's trying to demonstrate what it really means to believe. And then he gets over there to the other side, and there's the crowd, and he says, how many of you believe that I can put a man in this wheelbarrow and go across? And what the crowd says, I believe, you know, we believe. And then this tightrope walker looks at the guy and says, you, sir, one of these ones with his hand up, he said, you, sir, get in the wheelbarrow. And all of a sudden, the guy dashes the other direction, and he... Obviously, that individual didn't believe for himself. But look at how good of a picture was used. Because now people can say, you know what? I'm one of these ones that says, I believe. But wait a second. Have you personally placed your faith and trust in the wheelbarrow of Jesus Christ? You see, is there help to coming up with those illustrations? Absolutely. And my biggest point is that that's what Jesus did. Right? That's what Jesus did. Folks, I want to encourage you to sit down sometime. I want to encourage you. We do this with young people a lot of times. I think every one of you at some time, especially if you have not versed in sharing the gospel with somebody, would be to sit down and write out what you would share with somebody and then put illustrations right in there, good things that relate to different points. I'll tell you what, if you never plan it, you'll probably never use it. And there's a lot of different things. Use personal examples in your own life. You've heard me talking about accepting the gift. Anybody remember what I use a lot of times on accepting the gift and not taking it? Anybody remember? What illustration have I used over and over again? I know some of you have got to remember. The Christmas gift. And I often use a bicycle that's underneath. I know some of you are starting to remember it. And then I use, you know, like what if one of my children comes up to that bicycle and says, wow, what a great gift. You know, and you remember the illustration? A day later, 10 days later, and they never take it. Folks, people can relate with a Christmas gift and a bike underneath a sheet, you know, that you're trying to hide. I want to encourage you. That's what Jesus did. He goes straight from the truth and he says, okay, let me put this down into your perspective. Okay? We need to put truth down to people's level just as Jesus did. And by the way, this is kind of a side note. We want to be very careful when you're sharing the gospel, not only using illustrations, but be careful on the word choice that you use, because people are not going to understand what you mean if you say, even you need to be saved. What do you think? If you ask a person on the street, you need to be saved, from what? Saved? They're not thinking spiritual. They don't know what you're talking about. We need to be very careful. Explain what grace is. Explain what a wage is. Explain, you know, a wage. Okay, you know, where do you work? Okay, I work at Burger King. Okay, do you get paid? Okay, what's that called? That's a wage. See, put it down to their level. Give them some things that they can understand and they know what you're talking about. And when you can, you know, if you talk about a person's wage from what they get from work, and then their boss also giving them a bonus at Christmas time, I think they'll understand what a wage and gift is and the difference. Without that, though, they're going to have a hard time really thinking through. You think that everybody's going to understand the same things that you understand. Folks, how long has it taken you to understand what you understand? All these years, right? You're not going to witness to somebody and they're not going to understand. Here Jesus puts it down to their level. Let's move on, okay? So we see that the truth is given. They need to understand that man is in need. We see, second of all, that the truth is explained using physical and practical illustrations. Thirdly, we see the truth is not found in man. Look at what Jesus says in verse 6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. What is Jesus trying to tell him here? You can't do it yourself. In fact, if you're going to have this happen to you, it's got to be from God. You know what? Your flesh can bring more flesh, and only spirit can bring the spirit. Flesh cannot bring spirit. And what we see here is Jesus is going to hit at this illustration with this religious man that you cannot do it of yourself. You are not going to be able to be born again in any physical endeavor. You know what people need to see about the truth? They need to see that they're in need, and they need to see it illustrated. They need to see that they have no power to make it happen. I want to tell you, folks, that's one of the biggest things that people need to be convinced of. Because what is religion teaching? Religion is teaching is that they can do something in order to get it. And if I could put anything out there today from this lesson, it's this. People need to understand that it's not within their power to get saved. They cannot do it. What is the result of people thinking that they can produce salvation in their lives? What will it produce in their life? A bunch of agony, a bunch of misery. Why? Because they are going to feel like they have to be and they have to do. What a miserable life. What do you think? Folks, that's miserableness. That's horrible to think that I have to somehow produce. And I'll tell you what, I could never get any assurance based upon what I do. And I'll tell you what, there's no man that could look inside himself and say, I'm spiritual enough, because every man inside knows he's a rotten sinner. Because we understand our thoughts. We understand, not even like God does, but we understand we're wicked people. I think God has placed within inside people that we understand that we are no good. We like to mask it and make ourselves look good, but we all know, if truth be told, we all know that we're rotten sinners. We need to help people understand that it's not who we are. It's not what we have to do. So many people say, but Pastor, you don't know my past. You know, and I can look at them and say, no, I don't know your past, but your past doesn't matter at all. What matters is spirit. The spirit bears spirit and can regenerate spirit. Man cannot generate the new birth on his own. And we see that even in verse 8. He continues on. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Listen, this is going to be a spiritual thing. And God has to do the work. God has to do the work in regeneration. Eternal life only comes from the Eternal One. It doesn't come from us. What are some verses that come to your mind that we need to give to people to understand that it's not what they do? Any verses come to mind? Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. What does Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 say? Let's quote it together. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Folks, that ought to be a verse that you give to people. They need to understand this is not something that you can do. You deal with young people and you talk to them about being saved. And what answer do they give? I need to be a better person. I need to do better things. I need to obey my mommy and daddy. I need to do this. I need to do that. That is not what you need to do to be saved. That never saved anybody. That's what religion teaches. Folks, we've got a better gospel than the religious people out there. Our gospel is Jesus Christ. You can't do it, but Jesus Christ can. And by the way, he's the only one that can keep you as well. You cannot keep your salvation by being a good person, because you will fall short every day, every single day. I'm so grateful that I am kept by Jesus Christ. I'm kept by the power of God. It is not me. It's not me in my life, and it's not going to be anybody else. I heard somebody else say Titus 3:5. Let's quote that verse together. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Folks, you ought to know these three verses. Okay, Titus 3:5, Ephesians 2:8 and 9. We need to tell people it's not going to be your works. Flesh cannot bring about spirit. Only spirit can bring spirit. If you're going to get saved, it's got to come from God. And people need to understand that. As you're sharing the gospel with people, help them to understand that they cannot do anything. It's not of works which we have done. Number four, the truth. Very closely related to what we just said, the truth is not found in religion. You know, seems like religious leaders should understand these things, and that's exactly what is given here about Nicodemus. Shouldn't Nicodemus already know this? Look at verse 10. Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Let me ask you a question. Just because people are religious, do they know the truth? Frank, didn't you say that you went to some priests and talked to them and they didn't know what they were talking about? You know what? Just because a person is religious does not mean they're saved. And by the way, just because a person working on your furnace comes to the door and they say they're Christian does not mean they're saved. Please understand that. Because so many people come to the door and they say that they believe, or they say they go to church, and we get a big old smile and say, oh brother, glad to meet you. Likely that person needs the Lord. Now this person was a religious person, but he didn't know the Lord, and he ought to have known. And Jesus says, art thou a master of Israel? Knowest not these things? But what was the result? Look at verse 11. Most of these people, and most people that you think know, what's the reality? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen. And what does he say about him? And ye receive not our witness. Just because a person is religious, in fact, I will say this, most likely if a person is religious, unless they are following the true gospel and the word of Jesus Christ, most likely a religious person does not know Jesus Christ and they're not saved. I think we give up way too early when we find out that a person is religious. Religion sends people to hell. Do you understand that? Religion is man working his way. Religion is man sticking on to their traditions of the church. Folks, it's not church. It's Jesus Christ. So please, I hear so many, I cringe when I hear people say, you know, that the person, they met a person and they said some religious thing and that he must be another brother, and I'm so glad, you know, to meet another religious brother. Oh, and I say, but they probably don't know Christ. Did you ask him if they know for sure, if they were to die, that they would go to heaven? And then listen to them tell you it's based upon Jesus Christ. Because I'll tell you, you'll ask a lot of times, and it'd be very rare that you find out that someone is putting their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Then you can smile, and then you can say, brother or sister, when they're placing their faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone, and it doesn't accompany works. To get or to keep. Did you hear that? To get or to keep. Now, You say, preacher, are you trying to say that some people that believe in faith and trust in Jesus Christ to get it, and yet they believe that they have to do things to keep it are not saved? Listen, I am not the judge of man's salvation. I have a problem with that thought. Because if you're looking to something to keep it, then are you really trusting in Jesus Christ alone? But I'm so thankful I am not the judge of that decision. Okay? God is. And he knows who's saved and who is not saved. And I believe there are probably people that are saved that are in different religions. If they're trusting in Jesus Christ and they know him, then praise the Lord. But we leave that to the Lord. But the truth is not found in religion. It doesn't matter what or who a man is in order for a person to have eternal life. Now, this is a touchy subject with a society and a culture that has a lot of religion. Now, let's have some tact here. When you go into a person's home and they're, let's say, a Catholic, or maybe they have a different background, we need to be very careful not to blast away their religion. I'll tell you one way in which you will close the ears of a person is to go and blast their religion away. That is not the way to do it. They just need to hear the truth. They need to hear the truth. Give them the truth. Don't blast away their church. Give them the truth. Give people the truth. And so, we cannot put their religion down, but they must see that their eternal life has nothing to do with their religion. You know, I am very quick to say it has nothing to do with our church. In fact, I go to doors and say the whole point of why I'm here is not to get you to come to my church, because I'll tell you what, people go to other churches and be saved and go to heaven. Would I love to see them come to our church? Absolutely. But my goal is I want to see people saved. I want to see people trust in Christ. And if we can help them out in our church to disciple and bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, then praise him. But our goal is to see people saved. Religion as a whole has rejected Christ and his gospel. And so don't get sidetracked with religion. Don't get sidetracked with tradition. All right. Next, we need to see that the truth is not found in religion. The truth lies. Here we go. Jesus continues on. Now, go down to verse 13, because he talks through all these things about it not of yourselves. It is the Spirit, not you. It is not religion. And then he gets to verse 13, and he's kind of got one thing in mind in verses 13 to 17. He says, "And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Now, think of this progression. Jesus comes to Nicodemus, or Nicodemus comes to him. He doesn't get sidetracked. He gets to the heart issue. He starts to give the truth. First of all, he gives the truth that man is in need. Second of all, he explains the truth with practical illustrations. Next, we see, and I'm getting here in my notes. Next, we see that truth is not found in a man. It's not found next in religion. What is going to come next? If it's not in man, if it's not in religion, the truth lies in, and the focus of the verses that I just read was who? Jesus Christ. And he uses something that this man would remember. Where does he go back? He goes back to Moses, and this religious leader has got to know about Moses, right? Because they all know about Moses and Abraham. Okay? So he goes back, and he says, "You remember about Moses, when, remember, all the people had done wrong, and there was this disease that came on all the people, and they were going to die, and then God had Moses lift the serpent up in the wilderness, and the serpent was up there, the brazen serpent, and the instructions for the people were to do what? To look on the serpent. And the focus of that was, you look upon, and I'll tell you what, it was silly. Actually, in the people's eyes. Look on a brazen serpent. What can a brazen serpent do for me? Do you know, to the world, a Savior lifted upon a cross is silly for eternal life. It really is. No way. In fact, the dilemma of man is, how in the world could I be saved by looking to a person, trusting a person? No, I've got to be able to do something. But I'll tell you what. Jesus said, I want you to look to a person. And who was that person? Himself. Himself. He says, as Moses lifted up the serpent. And he says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. What an amazing thing. Jesus is preaching a verse about himself. Wow. If Nicodemus only would understand, you know, who he was. He says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We've got to bring people to a person. Away from tradition, away from works, away from religion, and to a person. People need to understand Jesus Christ. That's how you come. You cannot witness and see a person saved by just talking about God. You understand what I mean with that? A person cannot be saved by just looking to God. They need Christ. They need to see Jesus Christ. Folks, we need to introduce them to the Son of God. Who is Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ is the one that died on the cross. He was the one that willfully took their place on the cross. He paid the penalty for sin physically, and he gave us his spot on the right hand of God, seated in the heavenlies, righteousness declared. He did it for us. People need to see that it was Jesus that did it. We need to introduce people to Jesus Christ. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Introduce people to Christ. John chapter 3 and verse 15, 16 and 17. We just read. He says, whosoever believeth in him. Later in verse 16, he said, whosoever believeth in him. And verse 17, but that the world through him might be saved. And it, by the way, just as the serpent in the wilderness, it's not about what makes sense or what has been traditionally taught. It is belief and faith on in what or who God has said. Number six, the truth must be accepted by faith. You see how Jesus has given him the gospel here? Never seen it, noticed it before. Jesus has given him everything. It's not this, it's not this. It's Jesus Christ. And then how do you accept it? Look at verse 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. We see here in verse 18 the purpose of his coming and the possible response of the people. Of course, many rejected. But he says, whoever believes. If you don't believe, then there's condemnation. But if you do believe, there is no condemnation. He that believeth not is already condemned, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. People need to understand this. Practically speaking, people need to understand it must be a personal faith in Christ to deliver them from condemnation. I have to believe. It's not good enough. And here's the illustration that I give about that bicycle underneath. You have got to believe. Or the wheelbarrow. You have got to put yourself in there. You have got to come to grips right now that I am lost and dying and on my way to hell. And I have to trust in Christ to save me. I've got to look to the cross. I have to do it. You know what? Those people in the wilderness could have said, boy, that's a good thing, and so we're going to all be saved. But if individually they did not look on the brazen serpent, they were not healed, and they died. Same thing is true. Individual, you have to believe. So the truth must be accepted by faith. It was for you. Of course, they've got to see their need in order for them to see that, okay? And then number seven, and the last point, the truth is rejected because of man's love for sin. The truth is rejected because of man's love for sin. Notice verse 19, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. You know why people will reject Jesus Christ, will reject the light? What is the answer? The answer is not because some missionary didn't come and tell them. The answer is not because they just don't know, and these poor creatures over in the middle of Africa that haven't ever heard. Listen, the reason why people die and go to hell is not because they were not told. What is the reason why people go to hell? Because they love their sin, they reject Christ. Did you get that? People go to hell because they reject Christ. And the reason why they do is because they don't want to stop their sin. You say, why do you give that? Why did Jesus give that? And I think it's so important for us because, you know what, when they reject, when they don't know, it's not because you didn't do a good enough job. When people reject, they don't want it. They love their sin more. Of course, we can go right back into that and talk about their sin and give them the truth. But people, they need to see the truth. The sin, listen to this. When a person dies and goes to hell, it's not because they were never told or confronted by the truth. It's because they have rejected Christ and his truth in lieu of their own sin. The sin that they, and this is the, you think about this statement that I took a while to think through this. The sin that they love so much is the sin that sends them to hell. The Christ that they hate so much is the Christ that gives them eternal life in heaven. Folks, that's the person that we need to give them. Your sin will send you to hell, but Jesus Christ will give you eternal life. They must see the truth. They must see the truth. So here we have the pathway to salvation. I hope that you've taken some of these notes and think through it. These are things that are so important that we give to people. If Jesus gave that, we ought to give the same things. If he thought it was important to give, then we ought to give. Help people to understand the truth so that they can be saved. If we had more time, and we're out of time, we're past time tonight. I had the whiteboard up here, and I wanted to go around the room, and I wanted just to ask you, how many people need to hear what was given tonight from the Word of God that you know? No, I'm not asking a number. I was going to start getting some names. Maybe another time we're going to do that. I want you to start thinking about people. And in fact, I want to encourage you to start making a list of people that you know. And maybe you only know their name. You might not even know their name. But people that God brings to your mind. In fact, I want to ask you to do this, kind of an assignment. I'm not going to ask you if you've done it, but you do it if you want it. I want to encourage you to start making a list of people in your life that God brings. Start off with prayer. God, who would you have for me? I don't even know who I'll start with. God, would you start to give me people that you would burden my heart for that need to hear the gospel? Pray about it. And when God starts to bring a person, maybe it'll just be a face, maybe it'll be a name. Write that down. Maybe it'll be a description because you don't know their name. Maybe it would be a name because you know their name. Maybe it's somebody that you know very well. And start writing it down and make a list. Make a list of five individuals that you know that you need to hear the gospel. And let's begin to start praying that God would give us opportunities that we could go through the things that Jesus just went through with Nicodemus. I wonder what God would do with that. Folks, we need to be actively thinking. You've heard people talk about a goal. If we aim for nothing, we will hit nothing. You know what? We can sit here and nod our heads and say everything is good. That's great. But I'll tell you what, if you walk out of here without a goal to give this to somebody else, then what is it going to do? What is it going to do? We need to get some people. And I want to encourage you to do that. And we need to start building a list of people that we need to share the gospel with and pray. We started this several years ago. And we started doing it. You remember that top five list we started? Folks, I'm encouraged that we need to get back to that. And we need to not let it defeat us. We need to get back to that because we need to see people saved. What do you think? People need what Nicodemus needed. They need Christ. Father, would you please help us to be motivated to give Christ to people? Lord, would you help us to be burdened to do it? But Lord, I pray that we'd be burdened because we love you most of all. Lord, that we could see people saved. God, would you help us that we would be prepared to give the gospel to a lost and dying world? Lord, would you lay people upon our hearts so that we can give the gospel to them? Lord, would you help us to be very clear? God, would you help us to think through our gospel presentation so that we can share the gospel with people, not be so concerned about every word, but Lord, help us to have the illustrations, help us to have the truth that we can give it so that people can hear and be saved. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.